Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Well, hello everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, and the new book, Herding Tigers, which is about how to lead creative teams effectively. We live and breathe and operate and collaborate in a world of overwhelm. We simply do. We have more coming at us every day than we can feasibly handle. And for those of us who create for a living, in other words, we solve problems, we have to turn our thoughts into value every day. We have more ideas than we know what to do with. And sometimes that can begin to feel like a burden. Sometimes we don't know what to do with those ideas when we have them. So what do? We ignore them. We think, well, if it's really that good, I'll think of it later. The problem is later comes and we need the idea, or we don't even remember it. Frankly, we're not able to connect those dots because we don't have a system for managing it. Well, I've spent many episodes of this podcast talking about getting things done and David Allen and how his approach to productivity radically transformed my day-to-day life back in 2002 when I first became aware of his work when I was leading a number of people. And it really changed the way that I think about how I process my thoughts, my ideas, the system by which I organize my days. And David has just released a new Getting Things Done workbook, which walks you through the Getting Things Done process. So on today's episode, I'm going to be talking with David about, getting things done in general, the core principles for those of you who may not be familiar with them, and also why now is the time to release a workbook to help people walk through these five stages of getting things done, or the five core elements of getting things done more effectively. It's a great conversation. I think you're going to enjoy it. And those of you who are familiar with David's work, you know he's always fun to have on the show. So we're going to dive into that in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So as creative pros, we're in the business of turning clever ideas into customer value. That's what we do every day. But the thing is, great ideas and great creative work take time to cultivate. And running a business doesn't always provide enough time for great creative work. And that's where our sponsor, FreshBooks, can help. FreshBooks is accounting software that's designed for creative pros like you and like me. It's so easy to use that you're going to save up to 16 hours a month on time-consuming admin, time-consuming paperwork, all of the time drains that suck your creative energy out of you. And that means you're going to have more time to let your creativity flourish. FreshBooks is packed with time-saving features. You can create and send a branded invoice in about 30 seconds. It's so easy to do, so super simple, and it looks great, and it shows up, and it's really easy for your client to interact with. And you can even set up ACH and credit card payments right on your invoices to get paid up to 2 times faster. You can snap photos of receipts from your phone to make managing expenses 1 million times faster. So when tax time rolls around, you can export tidy reports for expenses, invoices, sales tax. It makes working with your accountant a breeze. It's going to save you so much time, so much energy, so much frustration. So allocate more time to creating and let FreshBooks do the boring accounting and bookkeeping. You have better things to do with your life, right? So right now we're offering listeners of the Accidental Creative Podcast a 30-day free trial of FreshBooks. No credit card required. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we're thankful to FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Well, I have to say, I am thrilled to have back on the show David Allen. I think David is our most frequent guest on the show, and for very, very good reason. David is the author of Getting Things Done. He's the author of my favorite book, which I don't think was your best-selling book, David, but it's my favorite of your books, which is called Ready for Anything.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite too.
Yeah, and several other books, but his new book is The Getting Things Done Workbook. And so we're going to be talking about that today. David, welcome back to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Thanks, Todd. And by the way, it's so nice. You've got such a great handle, Accidental Creative, because that's essentially the one of the dramatic results of implementing the methodology of getting things done. is your the accidental creativity that just shows up kind of because you can't help it organically. You know, when you clear your head and get your life under control, then all kinds of cool things show up. Anyway,
unquestionably. So. And you and I have talked about this many times before, both on the show and just in private conversation about how, and on your podcast as well, just about how much your methodology really set me right as, you know, in my 20s, kind of my early 20s was kind of, I call them now my misguided 20s, traveling
oh, come
country
on.
Music
they got
singer.
They got you where you are, Todd, so come on.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's, you know, Mitch Joel, our, you know, mutual friend. I don't know if you know Mitch, but I believe you do. Our mutual friend Mitch Joel calls it the squiggly line, right? You look back, it only makes sense in retrospect. It doesn't make sense at the time. But you know, GTD has been transformative to me. And I know also the people around the world, you know, you just held the GTD summit in Europe and it was a smashing success. Tell us a little bit about what happened at the GTD summit.
Well, we had 700 people show up. And we had, you know, 45 presenters on their own time and dime of an incredible range of, you know, stunning folks that you could spend a day with any one of them, you know, and be enthralled as I have. Yeah. All friends, all champions of GTD. And so we spent 2 days and basically celebrated, you know, sort of the basic mission of, you know, me and Catherine, my wife, and our company is to create a world where there are no problems, only projects. And we just had so many great examples, you know, from Marshall Goldsmith to Katie Coleman, you know, who's a, you know, for one of the first female astronauts, who's a huge champion of GTD in terms of the, and she talked about, you know, how that affected the team on the, you know, on the space station as she was flying around the world, and we were coaching her while she was doing that, and incredible number of people. Anyway, so yes, it was highly successful. I had no idea who was going to show up, whether anybody would buy into it at all, but we wanted to raise the flag and say, look, the GTD train has left the station, guys. You know, the world, you know, whether I'm around or not, we've got enough people who buy into what this is that I could now trust that, you know, it's going to keep improving the planet.
Yeah. And you're in 70 countries now? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, officially 70. You know, a lot of them are just part of a region that we have licensees and master trainers that can then go train in those areas. So, and a number of those are just kind of starting up in terms of what this stuff is. But
sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
All right. So, yeah. You wrote Getting Things Done, which was a book. It was a book, you know, a really thick book. And
yeah.
Then you wrote Getting Things Done for Teens a couple of years ago, which was kind of like a more simplified version. And I think I shared with you, I imagine a lot of adults probably said, okay, that's the version I'm going to read. I'm going to read the more simplified, stripped down version.
And it has cartoons in it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that helps. Yeah.
but now you are releasing the Getting Things Done workbook. And I have to tell you, David, this is the thing I wish I had in 2002 when I first read Getting Things Done, because this really walks you through step by step the Getting Things Done methodology. So just the first question is, why now? Why the workbook and why now? Why was this your next step?
Oh, you know, I have to admit, you know, stepping down anything from the whole picture in all of its glorious detail just is agonizing to me. Mm. You know, I don't know about you, but it was like, oh God, you know, do I have to simplify this? Do I have to cut out some of the stuff that I did? And I wrote Getting Things Done really as a manual, not as a training tool. I'm not an instructional designer. I'm not even a very good trainer. I'm a great presenter. You know, a lot of people kind of get enthralled when I present this stuff, but they walk out and don't do anything. So we've, you know, found out over these years that the biggest problem is people actually implementing this stuff once they see what the model is. They can see it, they can get inspired by it, but boy, to actually, you know, sit down and start doing the stuff that you need to do to implement this was way bigger, you know, way bigger gum than I knew how to chew in terms of training people to do that.
Yeah.
So, as I say, it took me 25 years to figure out what I'd figured out, and probably the rest of my life to figure out how to distribute this and get it to stick for people.
Yeah.
So over the last 15 years or so, we've needed and accessed and come across some of the best instructional designers on the planet, really, about how do we take this thing. See, I wrote it as a manual, really, to just capture everything that I'd learned in my 25 or 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, in my work with this, in case I got run over by a bus, I said, the manual's there. Anybody who's got the, you know, eyes to see, ears to hear, you know, whatever, it's there and they can use it if they want to. And it's available as much as I could put into print. And, you know, it actually was a little bit of a daunting thing to find out whether that even worked itself, whether I could put this in print. And with the success of the, at least even the first edition, we said, okay, then it obviously can be scaled and we could do that. But the truth is most people, as you probably did too, pick up the book and go, oh my God, that's just way too much. You know, that's just, I don't have the bandwidth. I barely got the bandwidth to even buy the book, much less even read it, much less even try to implement what all's in there. So we've over time scaled this. And then I, you know, a friend of mine who co-authored the workbook came up and said, hey, David, here's a, how about I take the heavy lifting, at least to start with it anyway, to start to format, put this in a workbook format. Yeah. Because that had been fairly successful, you know, the Seven Habits, Stephen Covey's stuff, they had a Seven Habits workbook, and some of the other sort of business guru books had done the same thing. So Penguin, the publisher, was quite happy that we, you know, decided that we gave him that proposal to do it.
So fantastic.
Yeah, so we did. So it's out September 3rd. I don't know when this is going to air, but it'll be out and available.
It'll air right around that time.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Todd, for that.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, one of the cool things about it was, you know, it's agonizing to me to try to step this down, except it's not really stepped down. Yeah. It really is, look, if I were to sit down with you, here's how we would start. Here's how I'm trying to simplify what the model is so that you can engage with it and just lowering the barrier of entry to it. Right. So in a way, it's a taster. It's a pretty elegant taster.
Yeah.
But it really is a taster of what the methodology is, and that may turn you on to then read the full book. And we've also, you know, kind of brought it up to date. We've got QR codes in there, which we just, you know, we've just taped my 3 and 4 5-minute segments that you know, if you're reading the workbook, you can snap on the QR code and hear me talk in real time about, hey, you know, here's what this really means, you know, you read it, but let me say what this really means. And we're very happy about that. So
that's fantastic.
So we'll see. Jury's still out a little bit.
That's fantastic. That's so great. Well, you know, I will say I'm going to be going through the workbook myself because I've been practicing GTD since 2002. I use an app. I use OmniFocus to do all my capture and processing and all of that. But, you know, I'm actually going to use this physical paper workbook to go through and just kind of do a one big review and just make sure I'm getting everything out of my head and into here. Because as you know, over time systems devolve and, things start, you know, holes develop and things start slipping through the cracks. So, you know, I might even just buy like once a quarter, maybe buy this workbook and just, and work through it again, you know, just to do one quarterly review once a quarter to kind of work through it. Indeed.
Well, interesting. I just was interviewed by somebody else doing a podcast about this, and he said, you know, he's been a GTD-er for years and read all the books and whatever. He said, but oh my God, this is the thing. This gives me a chance to actually get my wife to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it like kind of puts it, sort of frames it in those terms. By the way, those QR codes are live now, so if you want to,
go take
a look. You know, at what those are. So we'll see. I love the format of it. And again, it is not so much a simplified, but it's certainly a freeze-dried version of how to get started with GTD.
Let's take a step back. And for those who may not be familiar with the methodology, could you quickly just give us an overview of what are the 5 steps of getting things done of the methodology GTD?
Sure. You capture, clarify, organize, reflect, and engage. What that means is, and by the way, I didn't make these up. This is just a recognition of what the processes we all do. If you're trying to get your kitchen under control or a company under control or your conscience under control, there are actually 5 stages to that. It's not just go get organized or go prioritize or go get focused. Those are key elements. But there actually is a holistic model of how we approach these things. The first thing is, well, what's not on cruise control? What's got your attention about your kitchen or your company or your consciousness? So the first thing is to identify what are the things that are not the way we would like them or need them or they have to be. You know, there's some delta between what we'd notice. So anything that's got your attention, I need cat food, I need a vice president of marketing, whatever, you know, is on your mind. And so not only recognizing what's on your mind, but then capturing them, writing them down, getting them out of your head. Because again, your head's a crappy office. Cognitive science has validated that. So the first thing is to capture, meaning in some sort of a trigger form into some trusted bucket, everything that has your attention that might need some decision or action made about it.
And I think that's the important distinction there is, as you say, everything. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, anything that pops into your mind could be an idea for a project, could be an idea you don't even know what to do with yet, but you need a place to put it.
Well, cat food and new business plan take up the same amount of psychic space just in your head. Either one will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, if you don't give appropriate attention to what has your attention, it'll take more of attention than it deserves. So that's a bit of the counterintuitive, you know, thing about GDD is it in a sense, if you really were going to implement it, it requires you to be as rigorous with the non-essential things, but are still have to get done.
Yes. And yeah. I always tell people, you know, I mean, creativity really, Steve Jobs said creativity is connecting dots. It's taking stimuli in your environment, combining them in new ways. Well, you need dots to connect. And sometimes those dots are emerging in your mind and you have thoughts or ideas or instincts or sparks. But if you don't capture them, put them somewhere, put them in an inbox somewhere, then you're not going to have them available when you go to process, when you go to try to solve a problem. Your mind might be working on a problem behind the scenes and you have no idea because you're not capturing those ideas. So this was the thing, David, that completely and radically transformed my life and my business. When I began doing this, all of a sudden I started becoming more creative. Just from this first step, just from capturing every single thought that popped into my head, every single instinct, idea, impulse, everything I noticed, it just completely transformed my life at that point.
And I'm sure you know as well as anyone that the muse is fickle.
Yes.
Right. She shows up and gives you an idea, and if you don't do anything with it, she goes, screw you, I'm finding the next person who's going to do something with that.
Yes.
And it goes, and you forgot what you forgot.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
And those things, there are fleeting moments of intelligence and inspiration. So, you know, so you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's capture. And then what is clarify?
Well, once you've captured it, oh, what the heck am I going to do with this meeting note? What am I going to do with this thing I wrote down at 3 a.m. when I woke up about, you know, art project or God knows whatever, you know, you thought you had. What are you going to do about that? So then you need to clarify exactly what those things are that you have captured that you've allowed coming into your ecosystem. By the way, your email and your physical mailbox are already capturing for you.
Yeah.
So they've already captured stuff you need to decide about or do something about or think about. But then you also, again, need to have your own personal system to capture. You have a lot more thoughts and creative ideas than you even have email and physical mail in your mailbox. So you need to make sure all of those have been captured. But then once you capture them, what do you do with them? Once they're piled up in your notes and in your email box and in your email box, then you need to then make sure that you go through and make a specific distinction about what the nature of those things are. So clarify just means, well, what is this email? Is this a reference material? Is this something I don't need anymore? I can trash it. Is this something I might want to do something about 2 months from now, but not now? Let me remind myself later. Is this something I actually have to take an action about or need to take an hour, want to take an action about? If so, what is that action? And by the way, if that one action won't finish whatever this is, you know, what do I need to keep track of until this some bigger thing is accomplished or some project is finished?
Yes.
So very simple. People do those kinds of things kind of instinctively, but mostly when the pressure forces them to.
Right.
Not when the thing first lands in their ecosystem or on their radar. And you're much smarter about it if you make those decisions when it shows up instead of when it blows up. So I just discovered and formatted and framed essentially the algorithm, the formula that you need to apply as a cognitive thought process to any of these things that have landed in your world to then start to move them forward so they don't keep bugging you because you've got them on a list or that you're sitting in your in basket. Many yes. people's in basket, if they even have one, is petrified.
Yes.
You know, right. or constipated. And many people's to-do list are still unclear. They wrote down mom or bank or tooth or, right. you know, VP marketing or whatever the hell they wrote down. Good, they captured something.
Yes.
But what are they going to do about it?
Right.
And if they haven't made that decision, they haven't finished their thinking about it. And so even just looking at those lists and looking at that stuff that you know you should decide or do something about, you know, it yells at you or whispers to you. But in any case, it starts to spin inside your consciousness and creates a stress until you finish the thinking.
Yeah.
What is the next step about this? What's the very next thing I need to do about increasing my credit line or handling this tooth that aches, you know, or dealing with a divorce I think I might want to get? Mm-hmm. You know, so those are the kinds of decisions that then people need to make about the stuff once they've identified what's got their attention and what's grabbing their focus and their internal sort of bandwidth. And then they need to make those decisions. Once they make those decisions, and that's a cognitive muscle you actually need to train. Have you noticed that junk mail doesn't tell you it's junk mail?
Right. As a matter of fact, it screams it's legitimate, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you're the one who has to make decisions about all that stuff. So then making decisions about it is the sort of cognitive muscle you need to train. What is this? Most people's in basket, if they have one at all, you know, at home, most people's sort of informal entree is the first flat surface inside their door. Mm-hmm. And then they got a whole bunch of stuff piled up. Is that mom's to deal with? Is that Jody's to deal with? Is that mine? What? You know? And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's been captured in a way, but still unclear about who's doing what about it and what do we need to do about it, if anything. And then that's step two. Step three is to then organize the results. If you say, Mom, why is that on my list? Her birthday's coming. Well, great. What's the next step? Is that something you're going to move on? Yeah, I need to do something about that. What's the next step? Oh, God. You know, I guess I should call my sister, see what she thinks about doing this. Great. Can you call her right now? Nah, she's not at home right now. She's not going to do anything. I need to talk to her in person. So now what? I got a call to make. Where are you going to put a reminder to do that when you have a phone and when it's the right time? So that's when you need to organize, and what you organize are the appropriate reminders in the appropriate places you'll see at the appropriate times. So that then your brain goes, oh, I get to rest about that. I can relax because I will see a reminder to do that when I need to do that at the appropriate context and time.
Right.
That's organized, putting the right stuff in the right place. So your brain gets to relax about it and not have to keep rethinking, what do I need to do? So that's organized step three. And then, of course, step four is you need to make sure if you have a phone and time, you look at your list of people to call. You know, you need to reflect on what's the content of this stuff that I've captured and clarified and organized. I need to be able to look at when I go out for errands, show me the six errands that I've already decided I need to run. When I'm sitting down sort of with my life partner to talk about the business of life stuff in our next holiday, what are we going to do with the kids for the summer? What are we doing in Indiana? That you have a list of all that stuff already there available to you to look at. It's just like people look at their calendar to kind of locate themselves in space and time. How's the rest of the day going? What do I need to do this week, et cetera? So it's just lifting up and using your inventory of the various aspects of your commitments that you've captured and clarified and organized to then make sure you're feeling more comfortable about what you do at any point in time.
Yeah.
So that's step four is reflect on the contents of this stuff and your commitments at the multiple levels you have them. And then step five is just then engage. Where do I put my intention right now? Where do I focus on right now? What activity do I do right now? Do I take a nap right now? Do I have a beer right now? Do I sit down and grapple with the ugly email I've been avoiding? You know, what's the next thing I need to do right now? And the whole point of that is, and again, I didn't make this up. This is how you manage your kitchen. It's how you manage a meeting that's out of control. It's how you manage anything. Is identifying what's off, clarifying what off means and what you need to do about it, organizing the results in some sort of structured form that makes sense, step back and look at the larger picture and see then, you know, step five, what you need to do at any point in time. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did, was just make that objectified and then, you know, expand that to say, how do you apply that to the much more complex and subtle and sometimes sublime things in your life so that you get that under control as you get your kitchen under control.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to go back and to, on a routine basis, to review what's in your world and review your system and make sure that everything is still operating properly. Because I think sometimes people go through this thing and they're like, okay, great. I'm organized. Well, you're organized for now, but if you're doing it properly, if you're really bringing everything you have to what you do in your life, your world is going to be messy and you're going to have to go through this process consistently in order to stay on track.
Indeed, your life is not static. So organization is a dynamic process. It's not a static process. You know, do you have a drawer in your desk anywhere, Todd?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah.
Everything in there belonged there at one time.
Right.
Right. But depending on how recently you did a purge or curation of what's in your drawers, a lot of that stuff has changed its nature simply because time did. Right. So, you know, staying clean and clear is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time event for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. David, as you have, you've been teaching this methodology for 25 years, no, 30 years now?
35
years. 35 years. You know, most authors, I think, you know, when they have some idea, they put it out there and it's a hit. Usually people say, or the publishers, as you know, you and I both know, often they say, okay, what's the next idea? You know, what's the next thing? You've been hitting the same nail for 35 years, which, is so rare in our world. It just is, because, you know, we crave the new, and you have been a mission driven person for 35 years. You've said, hey, this is my legacy. This is the thing I'm going to put into the world. This is how I'm going to change the world within my sphere of influence. Which I just so admire. How have your thoughts about GTD evolved over the last 35 years? And if so, how have they evolved?
Just in some of the subtleties of it. Well, as you mentioned before we started the recording of this, that your favorite book of mine was Ready for Anything. Mine is too, because I did that. Those were actually essays I just wrote once we created a website back in, golly, in 97, something like that, 98. I said, I need to get some of this stuff out of my head that I think is really cool, without any need to sell it, to have anybody buy into it or whatever. I just wanted a way to express it.
Yeah.
Much like poetry. As a matter of fact, Ready for Anything was sort of based on the model, because I used the I Ching when I was, you know, in my 20s and early, you know, exploration days of self-development and personal growth and all that stuff. And, you know, the I Ching was such a great model about having a basic principle and then a commentary about it. So I actually used that kind of as a model for Ready for Anything.
Yeah.
So, and so I've been around this material, and I guess what's changed is more not the essence of it, but the sublimity and the elegance of the depth of it in terms of what I uncovered and how many things it covers. And also then the audience has also greatly expanded that need it.
Yes.
So that's why the new edition of Getting Things Done was written really for a larger audience that I knew was already ready for it and needed it.
Right.
But as opposed to sort of the fast track professional that the first edition was sort of targeted toward.
Yeah.
You know, this is like for stay at home dads, it's for clergy, it's for physicians, it's for students, it's for anybody that's got a busy life that wants to try to keep clarity in their head,
right,
you know, amidst all of that. So a lot of that was just my, you know, again, the new edition, I changed some of the languaging about how I express this. But again, you know, I rewrote that literally page by page. I just sat down and said, let me rewrite this and see, well, would I still say this the same way? Sure. And a lot of it I did. I said, no, that was as good as I could say it. And yeah, so it just stayed the same. And some things got twisted a little bit and spun a little bit more in terms of, you know, some things that I understood after 15, 20 years of working with thousands of people,
yeah,
you know, what it really meant. So, you know, I don't care. And, you know, in 50 years, you're still flying to Jupiter, going to need an end basket. You're still going to need to decide what's the next action. You're still going to need to decide any outcomes I've committed to, I need to keep track of until it's done. So this is universal stuff.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, David, thank you for the impact you've had on my life and, I mean, just millions of other people around the world. One more question for you. Is there a piece of advice that somebody gave you at some point that radically changed your life or changed the way that you're approaching your life or your work?
I don't think there's any one thing. You know, I've just lived a life of a long string of epiphanies. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think probably if I were to encapsulate the best advice I ever had, you know, from anybody, and I couldn't tell you exactly the source, just been reinforced by several, which is relax, let go, and listen. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to be able to let go and listen to sort of the still small voice we all have that knows the plan. It knows why we're here. It knows what we're really up to. But if your life is too noisy, it's very hard to distinguish that voice. You know, is this my intuition or is this indigestion? Who knows the difference between this feeling that you have about that's the thing I need to do right now or not? And many times it makes no sense. It's just something you feel like, you know, I just, for some reason, I want to do that. And I think that was a big change I made over time in my life, as opposed to trying to please everybody and myself as well, to stop and listen to that and be willing to pay attention to what I really wanted to do and the bigger I, you know, not the small part of me.
Right.
But the bigger part of me. And so that's probably the best advice I still give myself. and still try to pay attention to. It's called relax, let go. You know, if you look at my screensaver, it just says let go. You know, because control is the biggest human addiction. Trying to control your world to make it work, right? Now, that's different from having your dinner or your car under control. So I use the word control, and there are two very distinct ways to do that. Try to control the weather or your kids or your boss or, you know, like, good luck. Having something under control, that's a different thing. And that's what a lot of what I figured out is, how do I get the sort of noisier part of my life more under control so I have a greater ability to listen to the more subtle things? See, the universe is always on. So even if you meditate and try to empty your mind, good luck. You know, your mind is always going to be, if you're conscious, your mind is always going to be going. Right. You just need to make sure, if I relax and listen, and if I can shut down some of the noisier noise in my life and listen to some of the more subtle sounds and messages, then, you know, that's I think, you know, the, sort of the future for all of us.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking with David Allen. He is the author of the Getting Things Done Workbook, 10 Moves to Stress-Free Productivity. David, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Todd, always a pleasure to hang out with you, guy. Yeah, great.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice and thrive. We'll see you next time.